Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Feliz Navidad, Mele Kalikimaka, Jeu Noel, and if I don't know your language, it's because I'm limited. But Merry Christmas to everybody. Welcome to Crossline. My name is Pastor Kenny Luck. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. And whether you're visiting with us for the first time or whether you're just checking out Christ for the first time or checking out Christianity or you're a member of this church and have been here for a long time, as Pastor Greg said, it's an exciting time to be at Crossline. Now, when someone says that, you should ask a question. Why is it exciting? Okay, we got to do that again. Why is it exciting? Well, it's exciting because individually and collectively, there is a movement of God's Spirit in the place where you're sitting right now. There's a movement of God's Spirit in the community that you're a part of here right now. We're discovering collectively and individually that we are knowing God more intimately. We're experiencing God more often. And there's more of God for those who want more of God. Isn't that good news? I don't know about you, but I grew up in the era where McDonald's served one size of fries. Anybody else here like French fries? I love French fries, all right? And back in the day, there was just that little white holder of French fries. Then they came out with a large, right? But you ever notice that when you eat French fries, it's like you run out and then you're just like, I'm gonna look in the bag. And then at the bottom of the bag, I call it the Jesus fry. It's like Jesus said, he ran out of French fries. We should give him one more French fry. And then you look at the bottom of the bag and there's a French fry. And it's just because we want more. Now, I know that's a dietary no-no, but man, they taste good, don't they? With a little salt on there. But the reason why I share that is because I think for a lot of Christians, they have a hunger for more of God, but the bag is empty. And when the bag is kind of empty, it's frustrating, and then we start turning to sources and things, and we become self-sufficient, and we stop turning to God, and we're just like, well, there's not more of God for me. It's like there's an empty bag. And God is saying to our community of believers, there's a lot more. There's a lot more for you personally. There's a lot more for your marriage. There's a lot more for you in your walk with God. There's more of God for those who want more of God. So the question is, do you want more of God? Because if you do, the Spirit of God is here right now, and you can know God more intimately and experience God more often if your desire is to know the Lord and to know God. I mean, isn't that the point of it all? Right? When we know God more intimately, we see him for who he is, and we become the recipient of a God-sized vision. When we see God for who he is, the creator of the universe, the loving, mighty, merciful God who loves us, who wants us to live in the fullness and power of his Spirit. And when we receive that God-sized vision, something happens inside our hearts. Our faith grows. Our body becomes alive. We start taking new actions, and that's what's going on here at Crossline Church. The Spirit of God is moving, and there's a revelation of God where people are being transformed, and their view of him is changing from who they thought he was to who he really is, who they heard he was to who he really is, and their heart and their body is coming alive and responding in faith and doing things that are out of the box and crazy for the love of God, for the purposes of God. And it's so exciting to see. In fact, that's what the Bible says happens when you know God intimately, you experience God more often on the inside and in your actual life and in your choices, you get to see the supernatural invade the natural. All right? In Daniel chapter 11, 32, it says this. It says, those who know their God will be strong and take action. You see, that fullness of life, that full energy for Christ, where you're loving God, you're loving people, and you're experiencing the power and joy and love and peace of the Holy Spirit, the life that Jesus promises, the life that's full, the abundant life that he promises, that comes from knowing God. Those who know their God will be strong. There's the God-sized faith that comes from a God-sized vision and will take action. There's a response inside. And so if a God-sized vision results in a God-sized faith that leads to God-sized responses, Then we have to ask ourselves, well, what are those actions? Well, last week, Pastor JP talked about one of the responses to God-sized vision and God-sized faith is God-sized obedience. This morning, we're going to talk about another God-sized action that we're going to take. We're going to talk about God-sized praying. You see, when you have a clear vision of God and your heart and your body come alive, you can't help but grow a conversation with God. It gets exciting to talk to God. It gets exciting to talk about the things in your life to God. It gets exciting to talk about the things around your life with God. And this morning, we're going to see some examples of how certain people in the Bible, little vignettes of how they had a God-sized vision that reached into their heart and created a God-sized faith. And as a natural outcome, it got expressed in God-sized praying. And so we're going to look at the life of David. We're going to look at a vignette from the life of Daniel. We're going to look at a couple moments from the Apostle Paul. We're going to hear from Jesus on this subject. And we're going to look at the early church. And the reason these vignettes are in the Bible, the reason God cared enough to reveal these moments in the Bible are not to look at them and go, wow, that was a really nice experience he had or they had. It's an experience for you to have. Because what God models for us and what we're going to read about right now is meant for us. Let's say that together. What God models for us is meant for us. That's right. If God cared enough to put in his revelation these examples in the Bible, we're to look at them, and then we're supposed to turn the mirror to ourselves and go, what is our God-sized vision? How does that impact us on the inside? Am I becoming strong, and am I taking action through praying God-sized prayers? So right now, we're going to look at David. Would you stand with me as we read from God's word from 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 20? David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all of our forefathers. O Lord our God, as for this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and it all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how your people who are here have given to you, O Lord God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and their king. Amen. You can have a seat. So David has a God-sized vision. He hears from God and he decides, gosh, God's calling me to build a house for the Lord. And it's not a small thing, because God's not small, God's big. It's way bigger than King David's own resources and own skills and own talents. And so he involves the community of followers to join him in this effort to build God's house. And the first thing that we notice from David's prayer to God is this, is that God-sized praying involves acknowledging everything I have is his. Can we say that together? Everything I have is his. That's right. David prays, everything comes from you. Now, what revelation or vision based on the word of God is prompting a prayer like that? Well, in Deuteronomy, David would know that it said this in Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. Now, David, very talented general, very good rally of the people, very smart, very brave, very courageous. And yet, all of his power and influence wasn't his. All of his wealth wasn't his. David says, everything comes from you. You see, what we learn from David is that God-sized praying is rooted in spiritual reality. Spiritual reality is different from the realities that we create, because a lot of times we think that we are where we are, we have what we have, we're able to do what we do, because we have been the authors of that journey. Not true. God-sized praying is rooted in reality, and the reality is that it's all his. And that kind of praying, that kind of God-sized praying where there's a release of position, influence, wealth, that has meaning for us here in South Orange County, where there is tremendous wealth, where many of you sitting here, you have very high positions and very fancy titles. And yes, you have worked hard, but you didn't choose where you grew up. You didn't choose where you were going to be born. You didn't choose the intellectual material that God put between your ears so that you could be successful. It was like when Pastor Forge was here for All Things Possible. He said, man, you should wake up every day and you should thank God that you were born in the United States. He said, if I had a choice, I would be born here. And he said, you didn't control where you were born. God put you here in this place, on this part of the globe, with the intellectual, mental, relational, business network and resources that you have. Everything is his. Can we say it's all his? It's all his. That's right. So God-sized praying acknowledges everything I have is his. And you see, the reason why that's important for us is because wealth gives the illusion of control. Keyword, illusion. You see, wealth sometimes can delude us into thinking, well, I can do what I want to do when I want to do it, however I want to do it, all right? It gives us the sense of, wow, I'm the master of my own destiny, and I don't need God. Or I can rely on God less. Well, I'll tell you what wealth can't do. Wealth can't cure cancer. Wealth can't bring back a loved one. Wealth can't change a heart. Wealth can't give you comfort. Wealth can't give you a hug. Wealth can't resolve problems that only God can solve. Wealth never saved anybody. Wealth never transformed anybody into being more like Christ. And so it's an important thing that God-sized praying involves, just releasing everything that we are, everything that we have, every good thing that we've been given materially to God. Second, we see David praying this, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. The second thing that we see God-sized praying involves is it involves checking my motives. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but prayer can turn into kind of this subtle manipulation. Here's what I mean. It's where I'm asking God not for his will to be done, even though I'm supposed to, but through prayer, I'm really asking God's will to become my will. I'm asking him to kind of come on board my plan. You ever been guilty of that? Where you kind of just pray and you have needs in your life or you have situations and in saying, hey, God, I give this to you and I want your will to be done. You start praying prayers that you're really asking, hey, God, can you kind of join my plan versus me joining your plan? Because if I join your plan, I'm afraid my needs won't get met when I need them met or when I want them met or how I want them to be met or in what form I want them to be met. You know, David, when he prays, he checks his motive. He says, I know, my God, that you test the heart. This is important when it comes to God-sized praying because motive is everything. Man weighs actions. God weighs intentions. Why are you praying what you're praying? What's the reason you're praying what you're praying for? God-sized praying always remembers that God seeks integrity of the heart. You see, God can't be manipulated. That may work with man, but it can't work with God. And David, in his God-sized prayer, knows who he is talking to. He has a clear vision of God. God isn't a genie that we can manipulate. He's the God who sees intentions. He's the God who sees your motives. He's the God who sees your heart, which forces me and anyone who's talking to God to examine, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we praying the way we're praying? So God-sized praying involves checking your motives. Next, David prays, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. What's that? Well, to be generous givers. That's the context of the passage. Everybody's jumping in to this project to build a house for the Lord, and the generosity is flowing, the community is flowing, and the generosity is flowing, and David is so full of joy because it's for the Lord. And he says, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And then he prays for his own blood, and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands. We learn from David's prayer that God-sized praying involves asking God to change the hearts of others toward him. It's interesting, when you get with God and you receive a God-sized vision and God begins to work in your heart and he begins to reassure you of his presence and his power and his ability, and you give the issues of your life to him and you ask, your will be done, not my will, you begin to release the self-absorption and you become other-directed. And David, more than anything, he wants the number one thing, that his people and the people that he cares about, that they stay generous like God, that their hearts remain loyal to God versus being divided in their loyalty to other things or other passions or other affections. And then he asks for his own son. Lord, would you keep my son in your plan and give him wholehearted devotion? Wholehearted versus what? Half-hearted, partial-hearted. You know, God-sized praying for other people, you want the very best for them. Not a 80-10 commitment, not a 9 or 80-20 commitment or a 90-10 commitment. When you have a God-sized vision and God starts working in your life and you begin to experience God for who he is, you want for other people to experience the abundant life, the fullness of God. Not an event, not as an event, but as a lifestyle. And so David's praying for his son. His praying is taking on a different flavor. He desperately wants others to have the same experience that he has. And that's what's happening right now at Crossline Church. You've got people praying. If you're visiting, we've prayed for you. We may not know your name, but we've prayed for you. We pray for you every day. We pray for you weekly. We're praying that people would discover God here in this sanctuary and on this campus. And through our outreaches, we're praying that you would risk trusting God and experience the reward of knowing him and serving him and experiencing his power in your life. That's why when Pastor Greg, so many exciting things are happening, you know, that's the way we're praying. We're praying for exciting things to happen. So God-sized praying involves asking God to change the hearts of others toward him. I'm asking for God to do that right now in your life. I'm asking that the way you walked in, you'll walk out different. I'm asking for him to move in you. I'm asking what David asked, that your loyalty to him when you leave this service, that it would go to this place, it would go to another place as you reach out and trust him and you risk trusting him. Next, the Bible says that David prayed this. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord their king. What we see from God-sized praying in David is that it involves entering into it with your spiritual family. That God-sized praying is an individual thing. That's true. God-sized praying is also a collective and corporate thing. That's why we make space up here during a part of our service, because God-sized praying, faith in action, means that we get to invite you to take a step of faith and get out of your place where you're sitting and come forward and enter into prayer with one of our prayer counselors. so that you can experience God and have that burden lifted. Also, we pray together. I ask you to bow your heads and we pray together. We pray when Pastor Greg asks us to pray. We pray with Sergio. We pray when we're praising the Lord. And here's why that's important. You see, when my faith joins with your faith, it's more than just my faith. When my faith joins with a group of people, it's more than just my faith. It's all of our faith. And when there's a lot of faith on the table, faith pleases God. Faith releases the power of God. So you're in a place of power. Say this with me. I am in a place of power. I am in a place of power. That's why we make space for you to come in a place of power where there's a lot of faith on the table to deal with things and to talk to God and to have someone pray for you and to access the throne of grace, the Bible says, and come boldly. God-sized praying involves asking God to change the hearts of others toward him, and God-sized praying involves entering into it with your spiritual family. You know what that's called in military terms? It's called force multiplication, okay? Smart believers don't keep their issues to themselves, just between them and God. They actually access the forces that are out there that are given to them in the family of God, and they ask for prayer. I mean, even before I walked down here and before the service, I ran into Kimberly and Micah, and I just said, you know what, could you guys just pray for me? Just make sure and pray for me. You know, I can't deliver what God wants me to deliver on my own. I need you. Would you pray for me? Because I like to enter into prayer with my spiritual family. So that's David. Big vision of God. Something happens inside of him. And then he starts praying these prayers and he's asking God to change the hearts of others toward him. He's entering into it with his spiritual family. He's checking his motives and he's saying, God, everything that I have is yours. Are we praying like that? That's the question we all need to ask ourselves. So now let's see a God-sized faith that leads to an expression of God-sized prayers in Daniel. Here's another vignette from the scriptures. Now, how many of you have ever given a child a timeout? Raise your hand. All right, well, God in the Bible, when there has been disobedience or rebellion, he puts them on an extended timeout, all right? And that usually involves another nation kind of saying, okay, we're the timeout agent, come with us, and you're gonna be enslaved by us. It's kind of a harsh timeout. But Daniel is in the middle of a timeout because of Israel's rebellion against God. They're there because of some choices that they've made, and they've been disciplined by God. And Daniel is sensing this season of disobedience and captivity coming to an end, all right? He's had a vision of God's discipline, which has now changed his faith. And listen to how Daniel prays. He says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. You know what two words I love in that prayer of confession are the words, even though. Where Daniel says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Isn't that good news? You see, God-sized praying involves honesty about my sin and repentance. And that's what Daniel is doing for himself and for his people. He's saying, you know what? I've done wrong. I'm just being honest. And when I am in front of the great and awesome God, there's a God-sized vision, the one who keeps his promises, the one who keeps his covenant of love, the one who keeps being merciful and forgiving, even though I didn't keep my commitment or promises to him, he confesses that. Do you ever notice that honesty is hard when it comes to confessing something you're not proud of? And I see in Daniel and I see in us and I see what's happening here that before, you know, God can break out in and through us, there has to be God-sized praying, but there also needs to be God-sized confession and God-sized repentance where we see the holiness of God and we see ourselves and we acknowledge what our shortcomings are. You know, if you have trouble being honest with God and courageously confessing, you're going to have a hard time being honest with people. And worst of all, you're going to have a hard time being honest with yourself. You see, God is merciful and forgiving, and he'll take care of that. But if you're not confessing and praying God-sized prayers with him of transparency and honesty and having a change of mind when you see his merciful and forgiving nature, your relationships are not going to do better. They're going to do worse. You see, Daniel sees God for who he is, and he courageously holds up the mirror. You know, God is calling all of us right now to kind of hold up the mirror. It's so that in our relationship with God, we can move on and we can experience his power. God doesn't want to have anything to do with our disobediences or our rebellions. He can't. He's holy. And so like Daniel, we see that God-sized praying involves honesty. God sees the real me. God sees the real you. And he doesn't want you to keep winning the battle of images while you lose the battles of life. That's a good God. And so here at Crossline, we're praying honest prayers about ourselves. We're resetting our minds. Now let's see how a God-sized vision and a God-sized faith led to God-sized praying for the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he writes in his pastoral epistles, like the book of Ephesians that we'll look at, he very clearly shows what his vision of God is and then follows that with God-sized praying. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 1, 17 to 21. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. You see, Paul sees and knows the glorious Father. When Paul sees and knows the glorious Father, glorious in power, glorious in majesty, glorious in dominion, glorious victor over all evil, glorious conqueror, how does he pray? What's he inspired to pray for? Well, we see in Ephesians that God-sized praying involves asking God for personal revelation. Paul asks for God to reveal himself. He says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What God knows and who God is would be disclosed to people. Why? So that Paul says they would know him better, know hope, and know his power. Let's say those things together. Know him better, know hope, and know his power. You know, I remember my senior year in high school. I tell people I did college in high school. You know, the old, you know, I went to college and got crazy type story. And I was voted life of the party my senior year. And I remember near the end of my senior year, I was kind of partied out and empty on the inside. And I knew that the places where I was putting my energy to experience meaning just wasn't cutting it. And I remember coming home from a party late at night, and I remember praying and asking God for a personal revelation. I just said, Jesus, I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you. And in hindsight, I look at that prayer and I go, wow, that's pretty audacious and arrogant and bold. But at the same time, I tell myself, that was an honest prayer. I wanted God to reveal himself to me. And he did. And it's from that moment that I've never looked back. You see, when seekers of God become children of God, they're asking God to reveal himself in their lives. When believers are knowing him better and feeling his hope and experiencing his power, they're asking for a revelation of God. If you're here this morning and you don't know God, ask God to reveal himself to you through Jesus Christ this morning. If you're a believer and your life in God is stale, can I just encourage you to go to the glorious Father and let your belief in the glorious Father guide a God-sized moment during this service where you pray to God and say, God, I need you to reveal yourself to me. So that's Paul. He models for us that we need to pray and ask God for a personal revelation. There's another moment with the Ephesians where Paul is experiencing a God-sized vision that's producing God-sized faith that's expressed in God-sized praying. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, he says this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." Now, when Paul says this reason, the reason he kneels before the Father in the previous verses is because he understands that as a Christian, you've been given every spiritual blessing under heaven. So in light of that fact, that God-sized vision, that God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing under heaven in Christ, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray," listen closely, "that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That is powerful, God-sized praying. Where does it come from? It comes from the revelation and vision of God, which tells the believer, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing under heaven. You're a child of the glorious Father, the one from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name, the one who's gloriously rich and able. So what does he pray for? Paul prays that out of your glorious riches that you may be strengthened with power. Now, the reason why Paul prays for power several times in this God-sized prayer is because we need power. We need power. You know, if you could live the self-sufficient Christian life on your own, which I have done in seasons of my life, at least I've tried to, you run out of power. And when you run out of power and you run into the cul-de-sac of life, of self-sufficiency, God just kind of stops you and he goes, guess what? You need me. You need my power. Now, having worked in mental health and behavioral health for a lot of years of my life, working with alcoholics and addicts, and the first thing we teach them is that you're powerless. And until you acknowledge that, all right, there's no hope. Because you can't do this on your own power, clearly. Now, before we distance ourselves from alcoholics and addicts, all right, we're all beggars at the porch of God who desperately need him to win a good relationship with him and a good relationship with our spouses and our children and our neighbors and our families and our coworkers. We can't do it on our own. We need God. God didn't have to send Jesus if we were all resourceful in ourselves. He sent Jesus because we needed Jesus, not to live self-sufficiently without him. And so Paul asks for power. God-sized praying involves asking God for an outpouring of his power. At Crossline, we're asking that there's an outpouring of God's power in your life. Power to heal you, power to heal your losses and your traumas, power to heal your financial situation, power to heal a broken marriage where there's resentment in the water and you can't get over it, power to get you unstuck from that slimy pit, that muck and mire that Pastor Greg talked about so that your feet can get set on a rock. But you have to be willing to pray a God-sized prayer and ask for it. So that's what we need to pray for individually. That's what we need to pray for each other. You know, on this theme of God-sized praying, I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. He said, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me," or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." And on this topic of God-sized prayer, he closes with this, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." Man, that's powerful praying. Powerful praying is centered in a powerful person. And Jesus is saying, "I'm the powerful person. And I'll do anything that you ask in my name, caveat, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." No mixed motives there. That's the way we're praying at Crossline Church for you. That God would be glorified in your life, that God would be glorified through your life. And so we're asking for big, wild, audacious, big, hairy things to happen in your life. Well, not hairy. Just big, audacious things, that you would have a breakthrough, that you would go forward, that you would break out of your slump, that you would get into God's plan, that you would go where he's blessing, that you would share the love of God with your neighbor, that this Christmas season, that you'd bring friends to Journey to Bethlehem, that you would demonstrate faith in action. We're asking for you to risk trust in a powerful person. Question: what trust are you risking in Jesus? Now, some of you here, the big risk would be to commit your life to him today. Would be to say, "You know what? That guy up there on stage says you're a powerful person. That guy up there says that you solved my issue with God by coming to earth and dying for my sin. Okay, I'm gonna risk trusting you and invite you into my life, and I want you to come in. I'm saying yes today. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to do that later." One last little vignette, and then we'll wrap it up. It's from the early church. And in Acts chapter 4, a lot of powerful praying going on, a lot of crazy miracles and signs and wonders. Again, why is it in the Bible? Because what God models for us in the early church is meant for us in his church. So the same things that you see going on there in the power of the Holy Spirit are possible right now. And so in that early church, people have a God-sized vision. It creates a God-sized faith. Their heart and their bodies come alive and they start entering the lives of others. Peter and John enter the life of a guy they've seen constantly for a long time sitting outside the temple. They heal him. They pray for him. He gets healed. There's a miracle that goes on. All these people receive Christ because they see the healing that God did through this man's life. And then they come back and report to a group like this. Bible says, when they heard this about the healing, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said. There's your God-sized vision. "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." So what do we learn from the early church? That they model that we could now do ourselves because we are receiving a God-sized vision that's producing strength and we're gonna take action. Well, it's this: God-sized praying involves asking for the supernatural to invade the natural. What's going on in your life that you don't see any visible solution to. That's where the supernatural can invade the natural. What situation is unresolved? What sickness is unhealed? What relationship is broken? What is it that you, when you think about it, you just go, oh man, I don't know what to do. Well, the church models for us that we can ask the sovereign Lord, the one who's in complete command of every atom, in every body, in all the atmosphere. We can ask the sovereign Lord who made everything. We can ask him to get involved. We can ask him to get involved in our lives right now. God-sized praying involves asking for the supernatural. So we need to ask ourselves some questions this morning. Do we see God for who he really is? The sovereign Lord, the glorious Father, the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it? Or have we made him small? You know, a small God results in small praying, which results in self-sufficiency. A big God results in God-sized prayers, which produces God dependency. You're a part of a community right now that believes in a big God. And we're praying God-sized prayers as a community. Why? Because we've had a God-sized vision of Jesus Christ. It's made our hearts and our bodies come alive. And we're responding and we're taking action. We're being obedient to him as best as we can. We're praying to him as earnestly and as honestly and as humbly and as trusting as we possibly can. Why? Because we need the supernatural to invade the natural. We want to live in that kingdom reality. Our prayers in God reflect our beliefs about God. And in the Word, we've just learned that God is big. God is in charge. God is able. God's loving. God's knowable. God's mighty. God's able to do miracles. So how do we apply this personally? Well, if you're here and your marriage isn't what it should be, you need to ask God to come into your marriage and to do something supernatural. You need to surrender your marriage to him. You need to ask the sovereign Lord to do something you can't do. You need to ask God to change hearts, change your heart. What do you do when there's trauma? Do you just give into it? Or do you turn to God in the middle of it and just say, God, I'm at the end of me and I need the beginning of you to start right now. Show me what you want me to do. Receive prayer. Then as a church, Crossline's asking God for revival. Why? Because we've had a God-sized vision. He has activated our hearts and our bodies, and we're moving out. Are you praying for revival? Are you praying for the lost to be saved? Are you praying for prodigals to come home and find their home right here with Jesus? Are you praying for your fellow believers to your right and left, for the Holy Spirit to transform their lives, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to shine the light of Christ, so that this church can be a city on a hill to the 50,000 new people that are moving in just north of Lake Forest? Are we praying for our businesses? Are we praying for our neighbors? Are we praying for our friends and our family, that God would move powerfully in their lives? And are we willing to enter in and agent that with God-sized prayers ourselves? That's what God's calling this community of believers to do. Because Jesus said, the works that I do, man, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm gonna fill you with my power and you're gonna do things that are just gonna blow your mind. People in this body of believers, right in this service, they're doing things that are blowing my mind. People are giving things that are just so generous. People are inviting others to church. People are taking advantage of the Christmas outreaches that we have and taking back Christmas. Why? Because they've had a vision of God that's personal. They've had a revelation of God that's personal. And it's changed them from the inside out. They can't help it. That's what God's doing through our church. So I'm going to pray right now. We're going to enter in to prayer together. The Bible says that we can enter into his throne of grace boldly, seeking grace and mercy to help in times of trouble. If you're here and this is a time of trouble, this isn't a time to withdraw and wall up your faith. This is a time to release it. This is a time to enter in with your spiritual family. I'm going to pray a prayer over you, over us collectively, and then I'm going to pray for our offering. Would you bow your heads with me? Some of you listening to my voice right now, the God-sized prayer that you need to pray is to receive Christ, to risk trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if that's you this morning, all you have to say is this: Jesus, today I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to you as my Savior. I'm saying yes to you as my sovereign Lord and King. And I receive for myself your invitation to open the door and to let you in. I open the door of my life and I let you in. And I give you all that I am and all that I have and all that I hope. I receive your Spirit into my life. Lead me, fill me, guide me, make me new, heal me, forgive me, cleanse me. According to your word, I confess with my mouth right now and believe in my heart that you are my Lord in this moment, tomorrow, and forever. Some of you listening to my voice, you need to go big on an issue in prayer. I don't know what it is. There's marriages in this room where there's resentment. There's jealousy, and there's envy, and there's strife. And God wants to heal your marriage. There's other people who are about to give up on God. There's no fries in the bag, and God's telling you, I want to supersize your life spiritually right now. You need to go big in prayer and say, God, I know we can't do this ourselves. I know I can't do it myself. So I give you my marriage. I give you my life. I give you my faith, God. Help me in my unbelief. Bring your supernatural power through your Spirit into my heart and my mind right now. Bring it into my relationships right now. I need you to move. Bring glorious power and strength into my life. Give me a personal revelation of your will. I am surrendered to you right now. And then collectively, God, as a family of believers, we're going big for this church. God, you've given us a vision of yourself that says nothing is impossible. Jesus, you've chosen us and appointed us to go bear fruit. And you said, Jesus, by this is my Father glorified, that we bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Ask anything in my name, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. So collectively, as your people, God, we ask for you to pour out your Spirit in us and through this body of believers to reach people with the love of Jesus in big spaces, in small spaces, in doctor's offices, in places of business, in our neighborhoods, as we reach out and respond because we know you and you told us that we will be strong and we will take action. So God, we're deciding now that as a body of believers, as a community of believers, we're taking action. And God, even as David prayed, I pray that that spirit of generosity where we realize everything we have is yours. God, that it would manifest here as we build your house. God, that you would move in us to give gifts here at the end of the year that would be out of the box, based on our vision of you, based on our faith in you, based on the word of God, and based on the fact that you've been so good and generous to us. Help us take back Christmas by giving you a wonderful, fragrant, acceptable gift in this offering this morning and here at the end of the year. Thank you, God, for meeting us in this place. Thank you, Jesus, you're building your church. Keep building it, using us. In your Son's name we ask. And all God's people said, amen.